Now, I know this is going to be a good sermon when I already start to get that feedback on my microphone. That's Holy Spirit feedback. I know it's going to be good. In the Nicene Creed that we profess with our faith and belief, we affirm that God is Father Almighty, maker of the universe, of heaven and of earth, and that Jesus Christ is at one being with God the Father, who rose from the dead, who will come again to judge both the living and the dead, and that God the Holy Spirit is the giver and sustainer of all life. Life which is lived and carried out in God's kingdom. God's kingdom, which is all things visibly seen, and all things that are spiritually unseen. All of life exists in God's kingdom. And God's kingdom, past, present, and future, has no end. This is extremely important for us to know. Life in God's kingdom has no end. Now, you and I, we're called to strive and to live out our faith day to day, to experience God's kingdom. And when we come across certain gospel readings like our reading today, we can become inspired to carry out our faith in God's kingdom. And in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus offers us a certain parable about a contrasting life between a rich man and a poor man named Lazarus. Life in God's kingdom. And they both exist in our gospel reading in this sort of afterlife existence. And as Christians today, we may tend to think that because of our resurrection in Jesus Christ, affirming him as our Lord and Savior, that afterlife resurrection did not occur until after Jesus' resurrection. But actually, a belief in the resurrection was already deeply embedded in the Old Testament and in the Psalms years before Jesus was born. And in ancient Hebrew expressions, an afterlife existence was thought to be this dark, gloomy pit in the bowels of the earth that people would go to when they died at a place called Sheol. And they would wait there until God's final judgment. And then gradually, with Greek influences and in New Testament times, that dark, gloomy pit in the bowels of the earth called Sheol was then later replaced with the word Hades. Now, Hades was also thought to have these two divisions in this pit. And one part of that, one division of Hades was thought to be when people who lived a good life, an earthly life, when they died, they would go to a good section. And people who lived a bad earthly life, they were sent to the other section, a bad section of Hades. And both sides would wait until God's final judgment. And then those in the good side would rise to the heavenly realms. Those in the bad section of Hades would experience the flames, hell fires being turned up. Sort of like I think we would experience this as a smoking and non-smoking section. But with this backdrop in mind, now we can look at this gospel reading. And we can see in this gospel reading these two separate divisions of Haiti, of Hades. A division between where the rich man resided and a division separate where the poor man, Lazarus, resided. Now, in our day and time, whether this parable is an actual blueprint of what happens to us when we die, who knows? It's our faith that tells us that in Jesus' resurrection, we are offered new life, a new spiritual life beyond our known human existence. And what lies ahead for us in the heavenly realms is simply beyond our imagination to completely fathom, as it should be. And this is why we believe in all things physically seen and all things spiritually unseen. Things known and things left unknown, because we live by faith. So as believers in Jesus Christ, parables like the rich man and Lazarus can speak God's truth into our souls and give us a vision of hope to experience not only a futuristic life in God's kingdom in some heavenly realm, but to also experience life in God's kingdom in our present here and now. A life that has no end. And even though our life goal is to be with God in heaven, heaven is our true home. But what matters most to God is our here and now existence. How we choose to live by faith each and every day. Because God's kingdom is always present and always exists where we are. And all things seen and unseen, and things done and left undone. Because how we choose to live out our faith as a people of God, saved and redeemed by our faith in Jesus Christ, each and every day has direct consequences on what actually awaits us when we die. If we want to see what our future will be like, we have to look at our present existence around us now. So in this parable, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, there are three important life themes that Jesus informs us about. And the first theme is that God's judgment is a very real fact of life in God's kingdom. God's judgment, however God presents, judgment belongs to God, is a very real fact. Not only in our present here and now existence, but in our life that is to come. And judgment in this world is how we choose through life choices to make, most importantly, God's will manifest in our lives. And this is carried out by the way that we treat others in a Christ-like way. Remember when Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest of all the commandments. The second is you shall love your neighbor as yourself," as you experience God's love. Both those two, that's it. Everything hangs on those two. So we are judged how we love God and love others as God loves us. So the second life theme is about then what we value most in life. And what we value most in life explains our actions and how we carry out God's commandment to love God and love others in the light of God's love. You see, it's interesting that in the parable story, the rich man was tormented in Hades because he was tormented, not because he had lived some prosperous life before he died. He was tormented because he never valued the importance of showing God's compassion to Lazarus. You know, he only cared about his money or his love of money. And life in God's kingdom is revealed and is experienced whenever you and I can open our hearts to one another and share our faith with one another in a Christ-like way. As God's grace becomes manifested in our spiritual and physical relationships with each other. You may have the love of Jesus down in your heart, but when we release the power of God's love, there's not a greater force in the universe. The second, in our second reading, the writer of 1 Timothy, we think perhaps the Apostle Paul, he said, "There is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it." Ultimately, all we have is ourselves, our souls before God. And God looks at our hearts. He looks at who we truly are. And everything else that we have and possess has been given to us by God. And if we are not utilizing God's gifts to His greater glory, especially by what we value most in life, then we need to take a personal and spiritual inventory of our hearts, our relationship to God, and our relationship to others. And this is measured by how we carry out God's grace, seen and unseen, to those around us. And this is not easy to do, because we live in a world of spiritual principalities. As the Apostle Paul once said, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand." And in this world, evil is often manifested in many different forms. And often it comes as a result of creatures like you and I of God's kingdom making one mistake after another and allowing sin to intervene in all areas of our life, especially how we experience this towards us from someone else. You know, think about this. What else could hell actually be than one's own personal choice to be in total isolation away from God? To be lost, seeking only after one's self-satisfaction and desires, especially at the expense of others. Ultimately, that is hell. Because in that condition, there does exist that great chasm. There's an emptiness. And in that condition, all one can do is try to fill that chasm with whatever. Medicate that chasm. Mask that chasm. Consume that chasm in false pleasures. And only God's love, God's peace, God's forgiveness can fill that chasm that exists within us. This is what we value most in life. The third theme is that we need to always, therefore, listen with spiritual ears to God's Holy Spirit prompting, the giver and sustainer of all life. I think we do a lot of talking to God in prayer. Lord, I need this. Lord, you need to make that happen. Lord, where are you on this over here? We do a lot of talking to God. Are we equally listening to him? To be active participants with him in a Christ-like way in God's kingdom. Especially in the areas where we need to become more transparent to value what is most important in life to God. You know, it's been said, God hates the sin that is within us, but God never stops loving the sinner, right? And God eternally loves us for who we can become, and the power of God's redemption and love and the gift of his salvation, because there is no end to life. God hurts when we hurt. God hurts when we choose to turn away from him. God hates those things that are within and around us that are evil. But here's the good news. God just doesn't judge us from afar. God has given of himself to us in Jesus Christ. But we have to spiritually, in our faith, be in tune to be in communion with him, to therefore act in God's kingdom. As Jesus said in our gospel reading, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Through Jesus' cross and resurrection, God offers us the choice. And God offers us repeated choices to turn to him and be saved. The rich man in our gospel story, he never knew how his interactions with Lazarus would determine his eventual outcome. He never knew how his interactions with Lazarus would determine his eventual outcome. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Let us listen and understand God's truth to life in his kingdom and the importance of what he calls us and who he calls us to be for him, and to manifest his presence in all that we do. Let's pray. Gracious God, we know that your judgment is always upon us. And Lord, we live by faith. You are our Lord and our Savior, and we put our complete trust in you. You save and you redeem us. Help us always to become stronger in our faith, to be your servants, to value this most importantly in all that we do. Lord, help us always to listen to the prompting of your Holy Spirit, to manifest your presence in this hurting world, Lord, where it needs to be manifest, where you're calling us and counting on us to be your servants to all of whom we come in contact with. Lord, you are always with us, and we thank you for the blessings of your grace and for the blessings of this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.